sometimes things look rather dark and dim, but God, help me to remember who you are. Help me to remember what you've done for me, how far you brought me, how you delivered me. You took little old me and filled me with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and know the knowledge and understanding of your word to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, I hope you turn to Matthew's 8th chapter. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. In the 8th chapter, Matthew's.
All right, I got to do this. What does the song say about our eyes going dim?
Yeah.
All right.
Verse 2. In Matthew's, the 8th chapter, Matthew's the tax collector, Levi, whom Jesus chose, and it just amazes me. This is he just got up and left everything. Now he was despised. He was working for the Roman government, and they hated tax collectors. And I don't think that's something new. but anyways, no, I'm not talking about us. We got to love our enemies, but they're not favored people. So. And Jesus looked at him, it just said he got up. I'm thinking, he just got up. What about that money? And all the others, he just got up and walked away. But however may be the case though, Jesus was criticized him for sitting down, eating with him and many publicans and sinners. But see, that's where we ought to be, to save souls. Those are somewhat as looked down upon and or downtrodden. But anyways, in the 8th chapter, verse 22, it says, All right, 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Insomuch, we'd like for you all to stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. I apologize for that. Verse 25, it says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus said to them, and he said unto them, O ye of little faith. The Bible says faith that is seen is not faith, but it's believe and trust in God. But as it says in that 26th verse, it says, and he said unto them, why are you fearful? Verse 27. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men marveled. And that was something else. Why would they marvel? I'll tell you in a minute. And be astonished and amazed. But they marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? How many of you? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Listen, it doesn't get any better than that. Let's bow our heads, Heavenly Father. We praise your holy name. Lord, help us to bring forth your word. Lord, let there be no hindrance. O God, in the name of Jesus, and we rebuke the adversary in the name of Jesus. You have no place here, but God, have your way. Lord, let your heart touch somebody's heart, Lord. Feed us and then encourage us, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I need you. We need you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus' name, amen. I would like to use from the text, Matthew 8 and 26. And my thought is paralyzed with fear. Paralyzed with fear. with fear. Fear is torment. Fear is torment. I thought about the devil loves tormenting us. Because the Bible says that also he believes God's word. And he knows what his end is. And misery loves company. And we see and understand why the devil or the demons, when Jesus Christ walked in the garden of the Gadgesenes, he was confronted by a lunatic man that was full of demons. And then they said, "Have you come to torment me before my time?" Because they know that in the end, they are going to be forever tormented. Now, fear is something, it brings terror. Fear, it's frightful. And we know it's very agitating. Fear can cause you to do some crazy things, do some things, or say some things that you wouldn't normally do or say. I heard of a story of a man that saw a snake. It scared him so bad he turned and ran and hit a tree and killed himself. But fear is torment. It brings dismay and it brings distress and anxiety and worry. It brings this apprehension. And if we go down to using it in an informal way, I think some of the children might say it just gives me the heebie-jeebies or gives me the shivers. Also, fear used in as a verb to fear God, that means to have reverence and respect for God. We don't have to look at God as though he's some big ogre waiting to zap us with lightning every time we mess up. But we see that fear can be very upsetting and upset your stomach. But like I said, fear can make you do some crazy things. I'll never forget when I was in sixth grade, and some of you heard this story before, that I had to walk from the top street of our village down to the bottom street, which was about three or four streets, and it was all downhill, and had to walk toward the bus station. Well, we had an auto service shop right there, and he had a what was called a boxer, Hughes dog. Well, one day I was going to school, minding my own business, carrying my lunch pail, and that dog was always chained up before. But he wasn't chained up this morning. He walked out after me looking all like snarling and carrying on. I just knelt down, laid my lunch bucket on the ground, opened up the lid, and dumped it all out. Thank you. God give us wisdom. And he started sniffing and eating it and paid no more attention to me. And I went on to school. But see, I got tired of this. I put a brick in my lunch pocket one day. See, that dog had, because of fear, that dog had me doing some crazy things. Somebody might have been looking out to me and said, "That fool, what is he doing?" But this one morning I went, here he come again. I stooped down, he come over looking down to my lunch pocket, perhaps thinking he was going to receive the same thing. Oh, this was the same thing. And it's early in the morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I took that brick and hit him, and he wailed so loud it scared me. It somewhat echoed. I said, "Nobody's awake, but they heard that." But I tell you what, he never came out to my lunch anymore. But see what fear can do? Fear can do like this. On an Easter morning, we were so poor, we had one suit to our name. That suit was supposed to last us about 10 years. And after a while, sleep was up here. We had them little clip on ties, and we just started serving. How my mother got it, I don't know. We were just so poor. But I was walking to church one day, I believe it was Sunday morning. I had that suit on. I remember these hedges that I always walked by. They were taller than me. But a dog came. What's this thing about dogs? I don't know. But a dog came after me. All I know is I cleared those hedges. Do you see what fear can do? Fear and mixed with being paralyzed. Because when you're paralyzed, you're ineffective. We heard we're going to start a new thing. And we got to get out of this being ineffective. Because fear and being paralyzed, it cripples you not only physically, it cripples your mind. That's like we said, you say things that you wouldn't normally say, and you do things that you wouldn't normally do. And we see here that fear is like a handicap. It incapacitates you. It's powerless. You become powerless. That's why a lot of people in accidents or drownings and so on die because of fear. And they panic. They don't think. Now, it says here, I'm taking my time like Elder Gibbs. I'm not going to be one of them SSS preachers today that spits and stomp and shout. I just want to get this point across. Okay? So we see that it's even worse, fear, being paralyzed with fear. Many of us are past. Because of something we did last week or our past years ago. We count ourselves unworthy. We have low self-esteem because we are paralyzed because of something in our past and paralyzed with fear to the point God wants to use us. But we won't let that go because the Word of God said, forget those things that are behind. That God has cast them into a sea of forgetfulness. Now your friends may not forget. Your relatives may not forget. But God, if you bring it back up to God, he may scratch his head and say, what are you talking about? But because we are paralyzed with fear, and the devil will try to enhance that every minute, every hour, every day. And we got to understand, the Bible says if we resist him, the word of God is true. If we resist him, he has to flee. But that doesn't mean he's not coming right back. I've been around farm animals and I saw horses. They stand up in the field and they're flagging their tail because and blinking their eyes because of these old horse flies. But no sooner than his tail swipe it away and it flies, it comes right back. And I want to tell you that Satan will come right back. But the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now what I was trying to say, I see these apostles in this storm. They followed Jesus Christ everywhere. They saw demons cast out. And they saw Jesus heal the people with palsy, the centurion's servant. And they saw Jesus heal leprosy. They just heard the Sermon on the Mount. And he spoke especially about wearing it in the Sermon on the Mount. And we see that all throughout Galilee, he was heard preaching and saw healing. And they were right there. They knew they were with somebody unusual. They knew they were with Christ. They saw what he did. They were amazed at that. Well, here comes a storm, and now they're paralyzed with fear. See, sometimes we forget what God can do. We forget his word when he says, lo, I am always with you, even unto the ends of the world. He says, I will never forsake you. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of says a thousand may fall on one side, 10,000 on the other side, but it shall not come nigh thee. When a bill can't be paid and God said, wait, be patient, trust in God. But because God doesn't move at the time we want him to move, we go back and take it right back out of his hands. But we see here that, hallelujah, paralyzed was fear. My mind goes back to Abraham. And Abraham, in the 12th chapter, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And he tells Abraham, listen, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, in order to do that, you've got to have some children. But in the 12th chapter, he says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And he goes on and says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Yes. But we look at Abraham, because there was a time that Abraham became paralyzed with fear. We see in Genesis, the 12th chapter, where God had spoke to him and made this covenant with Abraham. And we see that many times God confirmed it with him many, many times and let him know that he was still with him and that promise, that covenant was still going to be fulfilled. But we see that Abraham and Sarah not only fear gripped their heart, but they began looking at their age. We're old people. How can this be done? And fear can cause doubt. Hallelujah. When you go into something, the devil will tell you that God doesn't hear you. But that's a lie from hell. My God, the word of God says his ears are open unto the righteous. His ears are inclined to us. He is our provider. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our city of refuge. Hallelujah. When I spoke the Psalms, the 91st chapter, my mind goes back to when I grew up as a child. Many times when the chicken hawk would fly over the yard, the mother hen would begin to cluck and call her baby ones, and she would spread out her wings and they would gather all underneath. How much more than God? God shall circumvent thee with thy feathers. Be not afraid. But we see that Abraham, God changed their names. And God continued to promise after promise that this was going to happen. Even after they were visited by divine visitors. Amen. The word of God lets us know that Sarah overheard the conversation. And she began to laugh at what she had heard. And then God's word lets us know that Abraham's fear became a reality because of his wife. When he went down into Egypt, the word of God said that fear gripped his heart because his wife was beautiful. And he feared that if they knew that this was his wife, that they would kill him. But think, Abraham, hallelujah. How can you be dead and still fulfill the covenant that God had made with you? It's because he was paralyzed with fear. Hallelujah. The word of God goes on after Sarah's death and Isaac was born. And Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, this seemed like this was a somewhat of a dysfunctional family in a sense of fear. And it says that they gave birth to Esau and Jacob. And now we know, when we understand the word that Isaac favored Jacob because of him being a hunter, and he would cook venison for him. And Rebekah somewhat favored Jacob. They said he was just a plain young man. But the time had come when Esau came in from out of the woods, out of the field, perhaps on a hunting expedition. He had nothing. He was tired. He was hungry. And he saw his brother cooking some food, some pottage. And again, fear overtook him. He didn't think. And he let him know, for my birth, give me something to eat, for I feel faint. And Jacob, and they communed about his birthright. And so there he sold his birthright. But the word of God goes on. And the word of God says, the blessing was stolen. We see here that a birthright, you inherited all the wealth, the riches. You were the spiritual leader. Let me just use this expression. You were, in other words, what they say in this day and time, the man. But we see this wasn't over after selling his birthright. He, being the oldest, was to receive the blessings that God had given to his father, and his father's father was to be handed down to him. But also we see that when the time came, that there was a plot that was made by Rebekah and Jacob. And she said, Jacob, whenever Isaac, your brother, goes back out on a hunting trip, I want you to, we're going to disguise you. We're going to put some hair on you. We're going to cause you to smell like your brother. And you can receive the blessings. And so the time had come when they fulfilled this plot. And Isaac was deceived. He somewhat suspected because of his voice. It didn't sound like Esau. But then Esau came back and he found out that not only did he sell his birthright, that also his blessing was stolen. Hallelujah. The word of God said that Esau had made up in his mind. He said, when our father dies, and we are through grieving, I'm going to kill my brother. Lord have mercy. Time had passed and went on. And the time had come that it was time for him to get away from his brother Esau. And again, his mother helped him to do so. And so he left, but he went into a land that, because of the guilt and because of being paralyzed with fear, he had a dream. He had this nightmare, and he woke up and he said, surely this place is evil. Whether it was evil or not, he was just paralyzed with fear. He was guilty. And the time had gone on that after going through Laban and working for Laban, time came, he says, I want to reconcile with my brother. And Jacob's worst fears. The Bible says in chapter 32, verse 7, he wasn't only fearful. The Bible said he was greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. Just paralyzed with fear. And just like Abraham and Sarah, they kept flip-flopping back and forth. Look at the blessings of God, and they praised him and set up altars, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and Isaac his son. He knew God would deliver even if he took his own son's life. What was he thinking when he lied? Paralyzed with fear. And then Isaac came along, paralyzed with fear, said that his wife was his sister. And now we have Jacob, who is greatly afraid, greatly paralyzed with fear. And we see that the Bible lets us know, because see, the day and time in which we live, we as saints of God got to understand and stand on the truth of the word of God. My God, the Bible shall be perilous times. There shall be famines and there will be earthquakes. But also lets us know in 2 Timothy that we live in a perilous day and time. People are ungodly and they're unthankful. And we see that we had mentioned in Psalms about what God said would happen. He said only the terror by night, terror by day, diseases. But he said it shall not come nigh thee. But we see that even death is a sin of God. We got to understand the word of God says that great in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Bible lets us know, yes, we may not all sleep, but some people are afraid of death. There are saints of God that are afraid of death. When God's word lets us know that the grave has no victory, death has no sting. Paul said it is far better. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. It is far better to be present with the Lord and absent in the body. And I just want to say to you, saints of God, stay encouraged. We are threatened by death each and every day. But we got to understand that's when the beginning happens. We go through a transition. Hallelujah. Matter, in my age, I think about it more often than before. Sometimes a little pain or something racks my body and I'm reminded of death. But when that day comes, God, give me grace. Give me grace, Lord. Help me to believe your word and stand on your word. That I'll be absent in the body and in the presence of the Lord. Goodbye, true world. Hallelujah. The Bible said, cry out when they come in. Rejoice. Rejoice when they go out. Hallelujah. We got it made. I was thinking about this. Always think of my mother. You heard me say, she talked about death all the time. Really, that's one of the biggest subjects I ever hear her mention. She tuck us in at night and kneel down with us and we say our prayers. And we haven't fallen off to sleep. And I remember a special window. She used to stand in front of that window. We had these big trunks, huge trunks. And I remember she used to lean on them and look outside the window. No matter what the weather might be, whether it was raining, whether it was snow, no matter what, she would always say, one of these days, this old body will be there, but I'll be with the Lord. She constantly moaned. It was a depressing subject to us. We were children. We don't want you to die, Mom. But she looked forward to it. And the Bible, she made sure that we knew God's word. I'm so blessed that I was raised by a holy and sanctified mother that knew the word of God and lived by it. She didn't only talk, but she walked it. She would talk about death as always, like I said before, like her birthday coming. But see, that's God's plan. We shall have life and have it more abundantly. People are exercising and they're popping pills and they doing all kinds of things to live longer. But the only way you live longer and have eternal life, like we've been mentioning, you got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give us. But God made it so great for us that when my mother passed, instead of grieving so much, rejoicing outweighed my grief. I was so happy for her. I was so happy for her. I would look down at her face, and that night after her funeral, I went to bed so peacefully, but I had a dream. I had a dream. I was sitting at the head of my mother's coffin. My mother didn't have, she only had two teeth in her mouth. Two little teeth, she smiled, two teeth appeared. But she was looking up at me, laying there looking back at me and said, why don't the man the preacher heard get done so I could be with the Lord? See, it was somewhat of a confirmation. We can't put anybody in heaven or hell, but I believe. But I believe. But saints of God, see, we live in a damn time. In my closing, we're talking about Ebola and we're talking about ISIS. We as saints of God ought to have enough courage and boldness. ISIS come. Come on, help yourself. Help yourself.
Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Jesus. Chop it off. To die is gain. Hallelujah. Chop it off. Hallelujah. Walking around this country full of fear. Our politics thinking about another government sit down. I'm not worried about a lone wolf. I'm not worried about ISIS. Hallelujah. ISIS can only make it better for you and I. Do you hear what I say? I heard somebody say, oh, we all want that. No, ISIS can only make it better for you and I. If we get Ebola and die, it makes it better for you and I.
Hallelujah.
If we get a virus, it makes it better for you and I. Name of Jesus Christ. Paralyzed with guilt. Think, saints of God. Don't forget what God's word says. Don't forget that God is always with us. Paralyzed with fear. Praise his name. In my closing before the altars and the minister workers come forth, speaking about paralyzed with fear. Many times when I was young, I would sit in church. When the altar call would come, I wanted to go. I wanted to get up out of my seat and go up there. And I wanted to be baptized. I wanted the Holy Ghost. But fear. The devil would instill fear. It felt like I was a magnet and the bench was a magnet. We were just stuck together. That's fear. What am I going to look like? People in the audience are going to be looking at me, standing up there for prayer. Saints of God. And many of us sometimes need prayer so bad. And we're going through. But because we're paralyzed with fear. And those that need to be saved, because you're paralyzed with fear, you won't come and be saved. Come to the altar and receive prayer. God bless you in the name of Jesus. May our altar workers come forward.